Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Listen, but to him who is able to do super abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which operates in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations forever and ever. Amen. The other remarkable feature is that this praise is offered in the midst of Paul's unveiling of the church in its highest aspect. To him be glory in the church. And this highest aspect is as the fullness of God. Francis Ball has joined us as we explore this marvelous praise to God in the church. Welcome back, Francis.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Francis, to fully understand the significance of this praise that we just read in verse 21, I think we need to see an aspect of the church that we spoke about on the last couple of programs, and that is related to the church being the fullness of God. And to see that matter, we really saw 2 marvelous verses, one in chapter 1 that says, "The church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all." And then in this chapter that we're focusing on today, chapter 3, verse 19 says, "And to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness." Maybe it'd be good if you reviewed this connection between the fullness that Paul is quite taken with, obviously, here in Ephesians and the church.
Well, it's quite amazing that the church has many identifications in this book as the assembly of God's people and also as the body of Christ. And as the body, there is to be a fullness of God in the body. And we're to be filled unto all the fullness of God. Christ is described as the one who fills all in all. That is, Christ is filling up all the members of his body. And when Christ makes his home in our heart, as we saw in chapter 3, verse 17, that he's to make home in our heart, that means that God himself wants to fill us with himself.
This fullness, in the program yesterday, he illustrated it in a very simple way, but I think it made the point quite well. And that is, he referred to a glass jar that contained candies and treats in it. And when you begin, the glass jar container is about half full, but the candies are continually added to the jar, to the glass, until eventually it reaches the top and begins to overflow. And this is the fullness, and of course the treasures or treats here are a metaphor for the riches of Christ that Paul has gone into great detail. So as we enjoy these riches, the fullness begins to accumulate within the body of Christ until it is such an expression of God's riches that it's really marvelous, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, let's join Witness Lee, Francis. Before we begin, he's going to use this term doxology, referring to the praise in this verse. I think a lot of people may have a kind of a formal religious understanding of that word, but how are we taking it today?
Well, I have always understood it in that kind of formal religious way in the past, but this doxology is a praise that comes from God and back to God. It's a glory, and it's according to the riches of his glory that have been partaken of by all these to whom these riches have been given are now coming back to God in this kind of doxology and praise to him. So it's a glory to God. But it's not just a glory to God from man, but it's a glory to God from what his redeemed ones have enjoyed and partaken of God in all his provision for them. As it mentions here, superabundantly, we have been the recipients of all this glory, and it's been given to us. Now we're returning this to him.
I think this point will become more and more clear as we go on today. It's really the focus of our program. Why don't we join Witness Lee?
These two verses, verses 20 and 21, at the end of chapter 3, give us a very extraordinary impression. If you compare this kind of a doxology in the epistles, you could see this one is the highest. It is until the church has come into existence at the end of verse 19 that the Apostle Paul gives the doxology to God. We all have to see this. Unless the church has come into such an existence, the glory to God would not be manifest. We know the church is on this earth today, and it has been on this earth over 20 centuries, yet it has never come to such an extent as the fullness of God. This is the highest of what the church should be, the fullness of God. The church has not come to such an existence. But we need to believe that this existence will come. We have to believe, and we have to pray in this way. We have even to claim in this way. Lord, as you have spoken, you must come to fulfill what you have spoken. I do believe someday this existence will be here on this earth. Then by that time, we all can say, oh, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ.
Francis, I think it's helpful as we consider this portion to go back and recall the whole basis from which Ephesians was written, or the status that Ephesians has, or the point of view would probably be a better way to say it. This is really Paul showing us the church from the heavenly view, the heavenly perspective, and not the view that we most normally get down on the earth. And some of the other books like Corinthians and that deal with a lot of the problems in the church have a more of a sort of earthly-based platform. But this one really takes this high view where such a praise to God is really fitting related to the church, isn't it?
Yes, this is a different view than is common among believers even, that the church is not just an assembly of believers, but the book of Ephesians opens up definitions of the church that are high, that are far beyond natural concept, and that really give a view of the church as being full of God and full of all that Christ is. He's the one who fills all in all,
yes.
And as we've seen already, the fullness of God is really the highest expression of what the church is.
So talk about for a moment, if you would, why Paul now inserts this highest praise at the end of this passage or the sequence in Ephesians 3.
Well, he goes on from step to step to show us how marvelous the church is because it's full of God. All the inner being of the believers is strengthened with Christ according to the riches of his glory. So this is the highest revelation concerning what the church really is. The church is the fullness of the triune God.
As you pointed out a minute ago when we were talking before we joined Witness Lee, this glory is first referred to in verse 16 that we touched a couple of days ago, where Paul was praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man. So the strengthening that Paul was praying for was really this glory coming out from God that you talked about a moment ago. Now in the praise, in verse 21, we see this glory being returned to him, don't we?
Yes, that's the marvel of this particular portion of Ephesians, that the glory all comes from God, or it's according to that glory, that he's strengthening us into the inner man. That means we're being possessed, we're being filled up with this glory. So it's filling us up day by day as we're enjoying him, as we're partaking of him. And he's answering the prayer of the Apostle Paul here that we would be strengthened into the inner man according to that glory, which is God's glory. But it's brought into us to be our portion now, and we bring it back to God in the way of praise and doxology.
Marvelous. We want to go back to Witness Lee, and he will really pick up this verse we just referred to, verse 16 in chapter 3, being strengthened according to the riches of his glory. And I think this point we're just now touching will be developed in a really marvelous way. Here's Witness Lee again.
In this section, the word glory is used in two places. Firstly, it is used in verse 16. Paul prayed that God the Father would grant us to be strengthened according to his glory. And this means to strengthen us is to work the glory into us. God the Father grants us to be strengthened according to his glory. He's going to work his glory into us. To be strengthened by God is to have God's glory wrought into our being. This means the glory comes to you. Eventually, at the end of this section, in verse 20, the glory goes back to him. The glory has come to you, but to him be the glory. There is the coming. Now there is the going back. Our being strengthened is the coming of the glory. Whenever you will be strengthened with your whole being into the inner man, you will be filled with the glory of God. When you are strengthened, that means the glory of God comes to you. Now, after this glory been wrought in our being, this glory has to go back with us. To go back with us. The glory of God came to us with God. Now the glory goes back to God with us. What is the church? The church is just the glory of God coming to us with God and going back to God with us. It's just a kind of a two-way traffic, back and forth. This is the church. It is here we are wrought with God's glory. And it is here God is glorified in us. This is the church.
Well, Francis, we get definitions of the church in Ephesians that just are not available anywhere else, and we just got one, didn't we,
about
this matter of the glory. In the life study, the printed life study, and also in the recovery version footnote, he added a portion that was not in his spoken message here. It is a tremendous, I think, a really good illustration, a very graphic illustration, and he's referring to a story from Genesis chapter 24, I think a story that most people know, but I don't know that they maybe have seen this connection. I'll have you develop it, but it's the story of Rebekah being brought to Isaac to be his bride. And of course, Abraham had sent Eliezer, his number one household attendant, off to find the bride. And along with Eliezer goes a lot of riches.
Yeah, that's right.
And so why don't you pick the story up there? I think, as I said, it's a really good illustration of this point.
That's a marvelous story, and it really is a marvelous illustration of what's being brought out in this message. And that is, Abraham is a type of the Father in the Godhead. And, of course, Isaac is a type of the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Father's riches have been given to the Son. The servant that's sent out to find a bride for Isaac is a type of the Holy Spirit. And he comes with all the riches of what glory this Son has. So he comes to find this girl who's not to be taken from among the Canaanites, but has to be taken from Abraham's own family. This in itself is quite significant. So he goes back to the land where the family was before Abraham came out, get a wife, a bride for Isaac. It's marvelous when you read that story in Genesis chapter 24, how the Lord led him. Of course, in the type, we see three different people, but in the fact, this is a picture of the triune God gaining his people to become his bride for his son. So here is a servant coming with all these riches to present to this bride-to-be.
Mm-hmm.
And he even prays that God would lead him to the right one. So as he carries out his duty and he finds the girl, and then he goes to the family to let her get released to go. And they're not so willing to let her go. But when she saw what was in store and what she received, all that was brought to her, she said, I will go. And she comes back, and the servant comes back to where Isaac is, and they come on a camel. And Isaac is in the field, and she is so elated with the riches and with all the glory that's been given to her that she can bring back to him. So this glory that she's received are the riches of what the Father has sent for the Son. And all these riches have been given to her by the servant. Now she's coming back to bring all those riches with her. And all this glory is really the glory to Isaac.
Right.
So this is the glory that's brought to us and put into us according to the riches of the glory. He strengthened us into the inner man.
Right.
And now we're brought back to him with this glory. So we say, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ.
So we're really the real Rebecca here, and we have been, as she was, beautified in a sense by all these riches that the Spirit had imparted to her and has imparted to us, the riches of Christ. And so this praise now is the returning of this same glory back to the Father as the source. What a marvelous picture, and I liked his word we just heard. What a traffic, this two-way traffic going on here.
And we have to realize these riches are typology, or all the riches of God's glory. It's not the physical things.
That's
it's
right.
Not material things. It's really the spiritual glory that's been brought to us and been worked into our being. So when we come now to the Lord, we come with all these riches. So this glory is to Christ. Unto him be the glory.
That's right. And it really brings us back to the point I asked you to open with today, which is the point we'll close on in this final section. And that is, again, verse 19, to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God.
Mm.
So these riches are brought to us not just in scarcity, but in an abundant way, aren't
they?
That's
right. That's right. We've experienced this.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion today.
After the church has come into existence at the fullness of God, now to him be the glory. To him who is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think. What God is able to do here is not in creation, but in the church. One day, I heard a brother give a testimony. He said he was unemployed. He prayed. Then the Lord gave him a job with a high rank and with the best pay. Then she quoted this verse. Let me check with you. Was his quotation right? He surely misquoted the verse. No doubt, God gave him a good job, maybe the best job. But that is not what is meant here in this verse. What is meant in this verse is what God does, not outside of us, but inside of us, is something inside. This is not a kind of environmental doing. This is the organic doing. Environmentally speaking, God may do nothing for you. I tell you, when you were in that high position with that good job, there's no room for Christ in you. After you have been praying for a time for promotion, all of a sudden God will lay out. And you say, Lord, what is this? The Lord says, I just like to make home in you. What kind of doing is this? This is the doing by the divine power that operates within us. We should not only ask, Lord, make all of us filled until the fullness of God. We should not only ask this way, but also think this way. Whatever you think, whatever you ask concerning the church in the Spirit, this will be answered. God is able to do superabundantly above all that we ask or think for the church.
Francis, I really want to be clear what we are saying, what we're not saying in this portion. We just touched a sacred cow to some, no doubt. It's not wrong that this brother prayed and received the marvelous job, and surely it's not wrong that he would thank God for it. But to remove this prayer out of the context in which Paul gave it is really where the misapplication is. I think that you can develop that a little bit. But I have to say, I've heard this verse used so many times, the first half of it, in the same wrong context, and I'm sure you have too, superabundantly above all that we can ask or think. And that's normally or very often used in asking for material outward things, isn't it?
I think we have to realize, Chris, and I believe we are seeing this, that this is a matter of the church. This is not a matter of our personal gain in material things or in benefits that would be for make our environment better, but he's really after making his home in our hearts and making us the fullness of God. This is for his glory. For him to bless us with something outward like this, a job or a house or a car or something like that, and think that that's a superabundant blessing, and the really calls for this kind of doxology, it really misplaces the emphasis of this verse. So I believe what we're seeing today is that God, according to the riches of his glory, he's working inwardly in us to deposit what he is in us until we, as the church, in a practical way, we become the fullness of God. God himself is expressed in the church, and that is the riches of his glory. And it has nothing to do with our ability or even really with our blessing in a physical way. But it's a gaining of God himself. He wants to make home in our hearts, as Brother Lee said. And so whatever is needed for that to be accomplished, he's superabundantly able to do it. And what we should be asking and thinking should be concerning the church, not concerning our own benefit or our own physical blessing.
Yeah, as he pointed out, it may be when the Lord removes the job that this becomes a more fitting prayer.
All right.
And because the part of the verse that's most often left out at the end, it says, according to the power which operates in us,
right,
not in our environment.
Right.
And it's the in us part that we really constantly being refocused on in this ministry and certainly in Paul's word in Ephesians, aren't we?
That's right. And it's the glory in the church. All the glory is to him. We got it from him, and now we're bringing it back to him.
Appreciate your being here today, Francis. This was very enjoyable.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening.